You are listening to the Sheep Guarding Llama Podcast for Sunday, July 16th, 2006. I am Scott Allen Miller, this is episode 49, and welcome to the show.
When can I see you again? When can I touch you again? When can I feel you again?
Assassins with Going Crazy, kicking things off here on the 49th episode of the SGL podcast. It's great to be back, have everybody with us, and it's exciting that we are finally doing the show on a semi-regular basis. No more huge gaps in the show, and that's just awesome. So today we have Dominica here in the studio. She's not doing the show with me today, but for the first time in probably 6 months, she's actually in the studio with me. While I do it, she's actually stuck doing her homework. She's working on her second bachelor's degree at SUNY Empire State, and she's been working on that, trying to get it done. It is late on Sunday night. It's actually pushing towards midnight, and she had to get stuff in before midnight, so she's been pretty busy. But it has been an exciting weekend for us. We started off Saturday morning. We went out and picked up our new to us, BMW 330 convertible, which we are super ultra excited about. That's absolutely cool. We have a convertible already, for those who don't know. We have a 1988 Mazda RX-7 convertible, but it hasn't exactly run in a long time. It's actually been garaged at my father's house for about 3 years. 4 years, maybe. And Dominica's saying maybe 5 years. I don't think it's been quite that long. That would put it in 2001. But it is possible that it was 2001 that it got garaged. So it's been quite some time that it's been sitting. We're not sure if it runs. But We do own it officially. And the hope is we're going to get that back on the road sometime, but we will see. That may be a pipe dream. But for the past 5 years, we haven't been able to drive a convertible, so having a new one is really, really cool. And so yesterday, we picked up the car early in the morning and then took it out and drove out to the Jersey coast and went down probably for about 80 miles or so down the Jersey coast, exploring all the little towns. We started at Perth Amboy and went to South Amboy, and you can hear Dominica typing in the background a little bit as she works on her homework. And we went down, and this is actually really cool. Right south of South Amboy, as the Jersey coast juts out to the east a little bit, my father's parents, my grandparents, during World War II, lived at Port Monmouth down there. And for, I think, 3 or 4 years, my grandfather served as an orderly in a military hospital and worked there. My grandmother worked in the same hospital as, like, a receptionist or something along those lines. I've seen photographs of her working at the hospital, her and another woman sitting at a long table, like, greeting people as they came in or doing paperwork, something along those lines. But so it was really cool to be able to go down and see the area where they used to live, because no one from my family has ever been down there. So it's always been this kind of, oh yeah, they lived in Jersey during the war, but no one really thinks about it, no one's seen it, and it was just neat to be able to go there. So we went through there, saw the area, because we don't know exactly where they're at, and then went on to the coast and drove down along the whole Jersey coast, along that the intercoastal there, went out into the ocean and drove along the sea wall, and it was just a really, really nice drive to have in the convertible. And we had Oreo with us, who was hanging out in the back seat. He's never been in a convertible before, as far as we know, and he thought it was the coolest thing ever. He was kind of in shock when we put the top down. He didn't know what to think. He was kind of freaking out as the roof of the car just pulled away. But then once he realized he could hang out the side and see people, he's strapped in, so he can't get out of the car. But he can kind of get up on the side of the car and stand there safely, with the wind blowing in his nose and sniffing at people as he goes by. And we were driving pretty slowly, so we didn't have to worry about the wind being an issue with bugs getting in his eye or whatever. And he just had a great time. He was having all kinds of fun, and people would come up and talk to him. And at one point, we were going slow enough that someone actually came up and pet him as we came by, and he just thought that was cool. So we definitely had a lot of fun cruising around in our new convertible, and we're really looking forward to spending some time with that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And this is officially Dominica's car. It's an automatic. I would get a standard for myself, but her car is a little bit older than mine, and it was closer to being replaced and a bit past warranty. And the BMW actually has significantly more warranty now used than either of our cars did new. So that's nice. We're really excited about that. And they even include, I didn't know this about BMWs, but when you buy a new BMW or a certified BMW, not only do you get the warranty, but you can get the maintenance covered for the same period, so that you can really budget these cars in ways you can't budget for with other cars. You know, if you know about how many miles you're going to drive, you can have a really, really good idea of exactly what you're going to pay over a course of several years, even maybe 5-6 years. So that's just, I think, a really awesome feature to know that everything, you know, no surprises to really worry about. So that's great. We're really excited about that and looking forward to doing it. So we went down and had a late dinner way down in a town called Seaside Heights. It was actually on Ortley Beach. We went to a place called Rockefeller's by the Seaside 2, and it actually wasn't that good overall, but they had the most... Actually, we threw our food away. Dominica gave her dinner to the dog, and mine we just didn't eat. But the appetizer that I got was shrimp cakes, and these are by far the best shrimp, crab, salmon, or other cakes ever that I've had. Absolutely amazing. Cooked perfectly, the perfect blend of breadcrumbs and shrimp, and it had a hot Dijon honey sauce over it that was absolutely amazing. It was perfect for the cake. It was great overall, and it was covered with the what I call frunions, the thin fried onion rings, and the whole thing was just amazing. And yeah, the frunions from Friendly's. Yes, that's what they call them at Friendly's. That's where I get them. Dominica had to add in the peanut gallery there. That is where I got that name. The shrimp cakes were so good that even though dinner was $80 and we threw most of it away, I have to say that the shrimp cakes were worth the $80. So I was happy with that. So then we drove back and got the puppy back home. So just very excited about that. We do have some exciting news that Bob Winans, who has never been on the show, and for all I know has never listened to the show, and we're going to have to do something about that, but he is scheduled to be coming down tomorrow on Monday, which is the 17th. So far, only Josh and Amanda, I don't even know her last name, someone that he performs with in the Drum and Bugle Corps, I've been down to see our house. So Josh is really the only of all the SGL listener readers. Actually, he doesn't listen to the show either. It sounds depressing, but it's neat that all of our listenership is coming from people who don't read the site on a regular basis. So, it's great that we have different audiences. But it's going to be really neat to have somebody from back home come down and actually visit and see us. I don't know how long he's staying, a day or two, I think. He hasn't actually decided, but we know he's going to be around lunchtime tomorrow. We're expecting him. So that's pretty cool. We're looking forward to that. And maybe he'll stay a few days. That would be really cool. In other news, we're going back home this weekend. Coming up, my cousin Sarah, who is my third oldest cousin, is having her graduation party, graduating from high school. So we're going up for that. And Dominica's going to be staying in Geneseo for the week with Oreo and his uncle Dexter. He came over to say hello as I was talking about him. So I will be in New Jersey by myself for that week, which will be pretty lonely, but it's only a week. Well, hopefully we'll get a couple episodes out during the week. I will be busy, of course, with work, but I'm going to take a break at this point. I am going to let you listen to Katie Faffel, who we have played on the show in the past. This is another song that I have by her called Beautiful. Take it away, Katie.
Loneliness is nighttime. Waking up inside a cold and empty bed, questioning a lifetime of separation, never knowing what lies ahead. But then I feel you hold me tight as we're running through the night, and the moon is bright and shining. Safe from harm, letting all the charms of love overflow. Then I'm reminded of what's beautiful. Endlessly blinded by what's beautiful. So loneliness is silence, living in the space that lies behind a voice, questioning the violence of setting free a dream that only creates a choice. But then I feel you hold me tight as we're running through the night, and the moon is bright and shining. Oh, letting all the charms of love overflow. Then I'm reminded of what's beautiful.
That was Katie Faffel with Beautiful. As always, our music is brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network that you can find online with your web browser at music.podshow.com. And I just gotta say, we get some really awesome songs and artists on this show. I'm really impressed by just how great the music is that the PodSafe Music Network is getting, which is obviously not caused by them. It's caused by the artists who take the time and energy and go out there and give their songs to the podcasting community for them to use. And I really appreciate that, and I know you do as our listeners, and I know that there are tons of people out there who think it's just great that they can go out and listen to artists. They don't have to go to the store and buy the albums to find out if they like them, and they don't have to go to the store, and you know, some of those stores have the where you can listen in the store. That's great, but it's not the same as just going online and getting some music and seeing how good it is, because now you know how good Katie Faffel is, you know how good Beat Assassins are, and maybe you'll go out and buy their albums or buy downloads. You can buy downloads from the PodSafe Music Network, 99 cents, go get a song, and support the artists that you hear here if you like them. Support them if you don't like them. They appreciate that too. My wife, actually, Domenica, while I was making the show tonight, heard me do the Beat Assassins that we did at the beginning of the show, and she actually went out and bought the CD this evening. So if the Beat Assassins are listening to this, hey guys, this worked. We actually bought an album today. So that's pretty cool. So this show at least accounted for one album sale there. So the other big thing, I told you about the car, is we went out yesterday and we looked at a condo. We actually thought we were going to go look at a townhouse, but it turned out to be a condo, which is better for us. We don't really like the townhouse look. You know, we started off with, well, we don't really want a house, we want a townhouse, because we don't want to deal with the yard and everything. But then, having owned a townhouse for the last 3 years, what we discovered is, we don't want to sort of own a yard or anything. We don't even want to come to that approximate level where you're kind of responsible for a certain amount of grass or whatever, because it actually becomes a hassle pretty soon. People start thinking of it as your yard and treating it in a certain way, or other people then think of everyone's yards as everyone's yards, and so you get this mix of approaches to how they treat people's lawns, and that the houses are built kind of with the it's your yard kind of mentality. So in Geneseo, like, we have a set of stairs coming down from our deck into our yard. We physically own the grass. We own that lawn. We're not allowed to mow it, but it is ours. We can go out and lay on it if we want. We can play with a dog on it. We can put a picnic table on it as long as we take it away by the end of the day. Whatever. It's ours. Other people can't go set up on it and use it. But then our next-door neighbor decides that it's her right-of-way to her lawn, because she doesn't like using the steps off of her own deck. And so this is actually the case. She actually walks around our house, peers in all the windows as she goes by, walks only inches away from the house, and then uses our lawn far more than we do, which technically she's allowed to pass through our lawn, but it's kind of an uncomfortable situation. We kind of lost the lawn that we paid for and don't get a comfortable use of anybody's lawn. So and then we ended up with a situation where we were paying the homeowner's fee to take care of all the landscaping, and then turned out that they just didn't do it, and a whole bunch of homeowners were doing their own landscaping around their house. This is a very small thing. We're not talking about bringing in bulldozers. We're talking about shovels and shrubs and flowers, but it's things that we were paying someone else to do, and then when we actually moved in, found out people were doing themselves, and the same neighbor that was, you know, took over our back lawn was also putting in trees in completely inappropriate areas and getting way out of control compared to other people putting huge rocks in her lawn, having a little garden added that was not in the bylaws, and putting trees in the front that weren't in the bylaws. And it was all very attractive, but it became a everybody's doing something outside the rules, and those of us who were paying so that we wouldn't have to do any gardening suddenly have a real problem because there's no gardening being done on our property, and we were paying for that. That was something that everyone agreed to. And so what we found was the townhome situation leaves a lot of potential for variance from the rules And it's not that I'm a big stickler for the rules, but when you purchase a service for the type of money that is involved when you buy a house and have a homeowners association, you do expect a certain level of respect from everyone involved. And I feel that townhomes, especially in rural New York, where it's a very rare thing and there's no one is used to the homeowner situation, and not the town, not the police, not that the police would be involved, but not the homeowners themselves. The whole situation is very kind of soft and flexible when it really shouldn't be. Once you have a homeowners, once you have that kind of money involved, because even a tiny complex, you're looking at millions and millions of dollars of investment from the residents. You really should expect that things are going to be followed pretty closely and that everyone's going to honor that the same. So we really are happy that the place we ended up looking at turned out to be condos. It just looked like townhomes. And for the people who don't realize the difference, with a townhome, you own the land under the building that you're buying, and quite often you own a bit of land outside of the building. And this can vary from, like us in Geneseo, we owned possibly a few hundred square feet of lawn. I'm not sure it was even as much as the house itself. The house is about 1,100 square feet. We probably owned about 800 square feet of lawn, which is just enough that you could set up a little table. You could go out and walk around in it, but not enough to actually do anything. But we owned it, and officially we were responsible for it, sort of, but we didn't have to mow it, and in fact we weren't allowed to do anything with it, and we weren't even allowed to trim the grass officially. So it's a very awkward situation where they kind of pretend that you own it when you don't have any rights to it. In a condo, you don't own the structure. You own the rights to the structure, and you own everything from, they say, the paint in. You don't own the drywall, but you own the paint. And, of course, you're allowed to run wires through your own building, but everything is very controlled, and you definitely don't own any lawn. You don't own any property underneath the building, and it just makes a lot more sense. With a townhome, you have weird things where you technically own the building, but only you're part of it. So you own part of a building, but you're not allowed to tear it down, and your neighbor and you share a wall where each of you own from the middle of the wall to your side. And I just find that townhomes are very, everything comes down to semantics, and owning things is a very strange issue. In a condo, everything you own, you can buy, sell, or modify. You own everything from the paint in, so you can repaint to your heart's desire, you can change the contents, and you can sell or trade or give away the rights to everything inside the condo, should you decide to, and the right to access the condo. But under no condition do you officially own something that you can't change. Everyone in a condo homeowners association owns the entire complex jointly, so it's... it makes a lot of sense. If you want to change the physical structure of your building, everybody has to agree to it. But in a townhome, if you want to change something you own, something that you bought and paid for, you don't have the right to do that. And so what does it mean that you own it if you don't have any rights to it? So that's I really feel that condos are a more honest form of homeownership. Townhomes are really, it's just there so that you can tell people you own it. It's kind of like the car you're not allowed to touch. Well, I bought it. Okay, can we go for a drive? No, I didn't buy the rights to drive it. I only bought the rights to own it. Ah, that's a weird definition of ownership. So we're happy about that. We went and looked. This is up in South Bound Brook, New Jersey, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere and sort of in the middle of everything. It's a weird location. It's right in a nook of the Raritan River and the Raritan and Delaware Canal that runs alongside the Raritan River. And we've been looking at this for a while. And the location, at first we thought wasn't that good, but now that we've spent some time in the area, we're realizing that it's really an ideal situation. It's less than 15 minutes for me to go from there to work by car. And if we need to go into Manhattan, it's just over an hour by train that you can walk to the train. And this is the important thing. It doesn't matter how long the train takes. As long as you don't have to drive to the train station, it means commuting by train is a very casual thing. Sure, it takes a few minutes longer than traveling to other locations, but it's all time that you're just sitting casually on the train, relaxing, reading a book, reading a magazine, listening to the Sheep Carting Llama podcast, whatever. You can do something that you enjoy and relax and show up to work having had a good morning. You can have your breakfast on the train, be happy, relaxed, have a good day, and at the end of the day, whether you're ready to go do something fun or you're exhausted and can't handle driving, you just get on the train, read your book, listen to their podcast, whatever, and you're home in an hour and 15 minutes. Fresh, relaxed, you can even take a nap. Maybe you're even going to eat dinner on the train. So you can really get a lot out of that situation, and when you get there, you're home. You don't have to get in a car and drive somewhere. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about paying for that extra parking, which adds up very quickly if you're paying between $6 and $15 a day to park at a train station. And so we're excited that it's got that train station right there, and I can get to work quickly. It's just a lot of travel flexibility. All right, if you heard that thump, Dominica just killed something running up the wall very quickly. Ah, a baby centipede. That is the smallest centipede I've ever seen. We do live in the house that is completely infested with centipedes. I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show. It is absolutely awful how many we've killed. This is the second this weekend. The last one was a full-size adult. This one was an absolutely tiny baby, a little bit smaller than a housefly, I would say, in total size. And right. We're hoping that Bob does not listen to this show before he comes to stay with us. This is the first one, however. We are in the living room because that's where the SGL Temporary North Brunswick Studios is located, is right here in the living room. This is the first centipede we've seen in the living room area. Everything else has been in the area of our bedroom or the bathroom or like the furnace room that's kind of in the middle. Baby centipedes are dumb, and it was in the middle of the wall with the most people possible nearby. So, But it's not encouraging that there are babies in the house, as that means there could be a large number of baby centipedes in the house. And I have, on a number of occasions, felt things crawling on me, so now, of course, I will be imagining that there are baby centipedes on me on a regular basis. Great. I really would have been better off not asking during the show what that was running up the wall, but I did, and now we all know. Okay, so we were looking at this condo. And we went in. There's a model, so we got to go see the model, and it was absolutely gorgeous. There's two models. There's two bedroom condos there that are called the Delaware style, which are very much a traditional American two-story home. And when you walk into them, you feel like you're in a traditional American two-story home, and you can't tell at all that you're in a condo or that you're attached to someone else. So you really feel like this is a single-family house that you're in. We were really impressed, and I thought that was really nice. But two bedrooms is not really big enough for us. We were really looking for a three-bedroom. So the Raritan style we went and looked at, and that was really impressive. It's a much more modern feel. It exists over top of the two-story, which is it's an awkward design to describe, and if you're looking at the plans, you have a really hard time figuring out exactly what they're doing. But when you actually go into it and spend some time in it, it is a really intelligent design for condos. It works out really, really well, at least from the standpoint of what we've seen. Actually living in it, I don't think the noise would be an issue. There is cement barriers between them, so the living spaces don't transmit noise between each other. And it is bedroom to bedroom, so you tend to get the quiet areas of the house next to each other. But the three-bedroom that we're really interested in is 2,100 square feet, so it's absolutely enormous for a condo. It's the largest I've ever been in from a condo perspective. It has an attic, lots of storage, three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath. It has a living room and a loft, a dining room and an eat-in kitchen. And all of these have a garage, so there's a tremendous amount of storage, a tremendous amount of living space, and we just fell in love with it. We went and looked at some that were being built, some that were planned, looked at a bunch of different options, and we were very excited about it. We ended up, before we left, finding out that the builder was not prepared to do any sort of data wiring in the house. They'd never heard of data wiring, which really led us kind of down the path of figuring out that they weren't building the high-end homes that we thought they were. The clientele obviously was not requesting data jacks, which we did find out that it's almost all first-time homebuyers that are in there, so there's the possibility that there's a lot of people who just assume that any new structure built in the last 10 years would be completely wired with data jacks, because how could it not be? And then once they were in, it was too late, and that's just the way it was, and they had to put in wireless because of it. Maybe that's the case. We don't know. Definitely a lot of people, when you're buying a house for the first time, this is our third time, really. We bought our last house and went through all of the building with that, and we bought, we rented from Lifestyle Properties in Ithaca about 5 years ago. And even though we were renting, we designed that house, we specified all the data jacks, we put in the, you know, where the bedrooms were going to be, where the, you know, all the room allocations were done specifically for us. So we went through the home building process to quite an extent doing that, even though officially we didn't buy the house. So we're a bit more used to it than the average home buyer of around the same age. And so maybe it's only come up because of that, but it ended up that we discovered a lot of things about the home builder that we're not very comfortable with. So what started off as being a very exciting situation where we just loved the condo and we're really, really excited about the potential of moving into it, we're still excited about it and we think it's what we want to do, but we've become a lot more wary and we're a little bit concerned. Well, we're significantly concerned about the integrity of the builder. We ended up doing some research online and found that there's no happy customers of theirs willing to talk about it anywhere, but lots of people talking about major lawsuits involving the builders. They're involved in a big scandal on the Jersey coast involving eminent domain, taking homes away from senior citizens who've lived there for, you know, 50 years and building condos for no good reason. I mean, it makes some money for obviously for the builder, but the city council is involved in a major lawsuit because they turned over all rights to the builder and didn't protect their citizens in any way. And there's a whole bunch of stuff with a conflict of interest going on where, you know, obviously the thing that when you read into it, the first thing you think is that there's major bribing going on, which of course they're not reporting in the news, but it's what they're leading you to believe. Whether that's true or not, it's just speculation, but obviously they're suggesting massive illegal intent from the builder, and so this is the builder that we're looking at. So we were led down this path by the salesperson telling us how we shouldn't be thinking that the data ports wouldn't be the best there was and everything wouldn't be absolutely amazing because this builder had incredible integrity and had a great reputation. So, of course, we looked it up and discovered that the salesperson had blown their credibility and that there was no integrity from the builder. So we weren't really expecting a lot of integrity from a builder. Builders have a tough time. It's an industry that doesn't lend itself very well to a high level of credibility, and that's something that we just expected. But once your salesperson and everyone involved starts really putting their personal reputation on the line and blowing it completely, it's not a good sign. So we have our concerns, and that's been a major focal point of the last 2 days in dealing with that. But we really need to make a decision about the condos quickly, and that's actually why Bob Winans is coming down tomorrow, because we don't really know anyone in the Jersey area, and we're kind of stuck with not having the opportunity to have anybody give us an outside opinion on this condo. And for us, it's kind of tough, because when it's first person, you go in, and you're totally taken by the space and the lines and the colors, and you want to live in the model. And it's really difficult to put the whole thing in perspective and remember what it looks like when it's not furnished, to think about all the problems that may arise because there's so much emotional attachment to the situation. And with the prices of homes in New Jersey and the amount of risk and commitment involved, it's just a big thing. So we talked to both of our parents, and none of them are able to come down and see the place before we would really have to make a decision. And so Bob is able to come down. Obviously, he's a teacher, so he does have the summer off. So he's not taking off work to come down, but he's awfully busy. He has a wedding coming up in just 2 months. Under 2 months, actually. He's down to about 7 weeks, I think, before his wedding. So he is busy, but probably looking for a chance to get away as well. So, and I know he likes New Jersey, and he hasn't seen us much in quite some time with us being down here, coming down towards the end of the school year when normally we don't see him too much, and then we get to see him quite a bit, but we've missed the quite a bit time because we've been busy here in Jersey. So that worked out pretty well. I think the timing is really good. Unfortunately, he's not coming down on a weekend, so I'm at work during the day, but there's always the possibility that I can work from home for part of the time when he's here and actually spend some time, which is actually good because today it was about 94 degrees, I think, outside. It was blistering hot, and we did drive around for some insane reason with the top down on the BMW, and that was crazy, and we totally burned, but we went out and we looked around the South Bound Brook area. We drove all around South Bound Brook and Somerset and Middlesex and Bound Brook itself and Bridgewater, all which are very, very close to each other. And I got a feel for the area, got a feel for what other housing was like, what restaurants and shopping and stuff is available. And so we got a really good feel for just the region, and from having done that, we feel a lot better about the house, the condo, because the area is nicer than we actually thought it was before, so the price isn't quite so bad, comparatively, we don't think. It's always tough. It's a tough thing, housing. I hate it, because back home in upstate New York, things are so inexpensive that it's really not this unbelievable commitment to buying a house, but when you're down here in New Jersey, you're talking about a commitment of almost every penny you can possibly make for the next 30 years, all going into the place where you live, and if someone rips you off or takes advantage of you, you can be in a pretty rough spot. So it's really tough. I mean, it's tough anywhere, but in an area like this, it's especially tough. So it's very stressful, and tempers run high, I guess. But we're hoping to find out more about the house tomorrow, and Domenica and Bob are hoping to go look at it tomorrow so Bob can get a tour of it, and we'll get his opinion, see what he thinks, and we'll take it from there. I'm going to wrap up. It is late. We are pushing midnight here, and I need to get to bed because I have to get up and get to work in the morning. And for the next 2 days, we are expected to be at 99 degrees. That's right, almost 100, kids. That's pretty hot. So Oreo's not looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to that. We will not be driving around extensively with the top down. No, no, no. That is a bad idea. If you think I'm burnt today, I can feel it on the top of my bald head that it is definitely, definitely burnt. Domenica tried to convince me while we were driving that I didn't look burnt, but I don't know what she's talking about. I could feel it burning as we drove. And as I'm talking over here, she's checking out her arms to see how badly she's burnt. My arms aren't burnt. All the rest of me is fine. It's slightly, slightly tanned, but the top of my head is crispy, crispy, crispy. So that's the problem you have with going bald. Getting old is tough, but I'm looking forward to our next episode because we are coming up on episode 50, and that's going to be exciting. And with any luck, we might be able to do a special guest show while Bob is here, convince Bob to get on the show, and maybe Domenica will come on for our 50th episode because it's 50, our semi-centennial episode, which is a pretty big deal, so excited about that. And we're going to let Amy Kortz with the song Company take us out today, and I hope everyone enjoys their drive, get to work safely, and be well.
bad thing in love the longest day.